Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Kings and chapter 12, please. First Kings and chapter 12. I'm going to take a few minutes to go through an Old Testament story. I'm sure many of us have heard this in Sunday school. But there's a very, I think, very important lesson that we can learn from it. We know that the entire Bible is written for our learning. 1 Corinthians 10 would tell us things that happened to the Old Testament people. They're in samples, and we can learn from them. That's why we would encourage all believers to read from all of the Word of God, because God can speak to us through stories in the Old Testament. So I'm not really going to develop the principle that I want to speak on until the end, but I'll take a few minutes to get us into the story. I'm going to read a verse first, and this word only appears once in the Old Testament. And it's really what caught my eye was Mr. Newberry's little comment in the margin. It got me kind of studying this. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll get into the story in a minute. Verse 15, wherefore the king, that's a reference to Rehoboam, wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for, here's the word, The cause. Now that only appears once in your Old Testament. For the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. So let's go back to that expression. For the cause was from the Lord. Now if you have a Newberry Bible, you'll notice for cause, he has the little phrase, turn of events. So whatever is going on here, which we're going to explain in a minute, it is actually of the Lord. A sudden turn of events. I'm going to show you in a few minutes that this King Rehoboam, this was not his desire. This was something that completely caught him off guard. But if we go back 5 years, there was a prophet that made a prediction by God, a prophecy. And God's word always stands. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take a few minutes and we're just going to read about this story. I think just to bring you up to a little bit of speed, we're going to look at the division of the kingdom. You know that Saul was the first king upon the throne, not God's man. Eventually, David would come on the scene, and King David is the man that God had for the throne of Israel. Of course, as a result of Saul, you've got a divided kingdom. When David comes onto the scene, there's a divided kingdom for the first number of years, about 7 years, and then he unites the kingdom. And you've got the 12 tribes of Israel united under David. And David has a wonderful reign, and you all know David has a desire to build a house for the Lord, a permanent house. God does not have that for him, but he has it for his son, Solomon. So Solomon eventually comes to the throne. And Solomon starts out marvelous, and he builds that temple. God has a permanent now dwelling place. The glory of God is filling that temple structure in the city of Jerusalem. Now we all have to cringe when we think of the latter half of Solomon's life, because Solomon gets away from the Lord. And he brings a lot of idolatry into the nation of Israel due to his relationship with many strange women. They become his wives, but those wives carry their gods with them. And unfortunately, a man, Solomon, who started out on his knees, lifting his hands to heaven, worshiping the one true God, he falls into idolatry, and we find him building temples for these other gods in close proximity to the temple in Jerusalem. God is grieved. Now, what's going to happen? There's always consequences to sin. There's always consequences, not only in the individual life, but even collectively. And this is what's going to happen now. There, as a result of Solomon leading the nation into idolatry, God is going to divide the nation. I'm going to prove that to you. Sometimes we think divisions are always of the devil, but they're not. This division was prophesied by God. So there is Solomon, 5 years left to go in his reign. God raises up a prophet. He sends him to a man by the name of Jeroboam. We're going to read it. He's not a son of Solomon. He's just a servant. But Solomon notices things about him when he's building Milo, a city. And he notices that this man is industrious. So he promotes him. And the man starts to show himself, and he rises up, and he must get a bit of a following. He must be well known. What Solomon didn't realize was that was the very man that God was going to use to take 10 tribes from Solomon. He didn't realize this. So this prophet goes to Jeroboam, and you might remember the story. He's wearing a garment, and the prophet takes that garment, and what does he do? He rips it into 12 pieces. And I'm sure Jeroboam doesn't know what's going on. What is this prophet doing, ripping up this garment into 12 pieces? And then all of a sudden, this prophet hands him 10 pieces. And he says to him, God is going to give you 10 tribes. Well, I'm not related to Solomon. I'm not a son of Solomon. There's Rehoboam. He's only going to get 2 tribes. But you're going to get 10 tribes. I mean, just try to imagine how this is coming upon this man's mind. Tremendous to think. Unbeknown to Solomon, God is now going to bring consequences for his sin. Now, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but let's turn back and let's read about that. Let's just go back to chapter number 11 for a minute, and we'll just come up to speed, cover quickly what we've just spoken about. Look at chapter 11 and verse number 1. I wish this verse was never in the Bible, but God records things just as they are. Verse number 1, but King Solomon loved many strange women. Verse 4, and for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. Verse 9, I trust this will never be said about me by God's grace. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Can you get that, dear child of God? That should jump off the pages at us in this context. This man literally had the God of heaven appear to him twice. What a revelation! What a sight to behold! You would think that would keep a person fully following the Lord to have such a revelation. Twice the God of heaven appeared right in this here setting. Just think about it. So then we read these words in verse number 11. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, I find this interesting, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend or rip the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. 5 years before it happened. Now Solomon had a massive kingdom. He had a lot of servants. I just started thinking about this man, Solomon. He's away from God at this point. He's carnal. I'm sure his eyes started to search every single servant in his kingdom. Who is it? Now, God is not going to... It doesn't matter if you find out who it is, Solomon. You're never going to kill him. Because there's a prophet that has predicted something is going to happen. And it will happen. Now, we're not told the servant, but he's just told it is a servant. Now, look at this as a result. Verse number 14. And the Lord stirred or raised up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad, the Edomite. There has been total peace in his kingdom up until this point. The kingdom has expanded to such an area. Now in comes trouble. Here's one of the consequences of sin. Can we learn, dear child of God, in the 21st century, whatever truth we hold to in this book, don't let it go. Don't let it go. Can I plead with parents, mothers and fathers? Do you love your children? I know we do. The best thing you can do is adhere to the truths of this book. Don't bring consequences upon them. May God help us. Then we come further to verse 23. And God stirred or raised up another adversary, Rezin, the son of Eladad. Here comes an attack now from another area. Solomon doesn't understand what's going on here. I don't know whether him in his carnal state connected the dots. This is a direct correlation to my idolatry. Getting away from God. But because God is gracious in his dealings with his people, I get away from God here and time is passing by and God has given me opportunity to repent and all of a sudden I don't repent and things start to come undone. You know what I'm slow to connect? This is connected to this. We can't get away with anything with our God. We can't. That doesn't mean we walk around on eggshells. It just means this. We keep true to the Word of God. We keep true to the Word of God. That is all we have in the shifting sand of this world, to know that the pleasure of our God is upon us. You remember what it says. Why was David's heart perfect to God? That's what God said. Because David adhered to the Word of God. Yes, he had difficulties in his life. Yes, he had moments of sin. We will all have moments of sin. But there was a desire in the heart of David to follow his God. That could not be said about Solomon. His heart was not perfect like David. It's amazing how many times David is brought up. And then we have to read another adversary. This is where Jeroboam comes in, verse 26. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephraimite of Zerah, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow woman, even he lifted up his hand against the king. And this was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon built Milo and repaired the breaches of the city of David, his father. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing the young man, that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. The charge, that's the forced laborers. Those are people that were just taken and you are going to work for the king. So this man obviously knows how to handle people and to suppress rebellion. And he's able to get people to get focused and to move for the king. This is why Solomon promoted him. God is going to use that very man to take 10 of his tribes. Amazing. All right, let's keep on going. Verse number 29. And it came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah the Shulamite found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment. And they two were alone in the field, and Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces. For thus saith the Lord, remember, 5 years before it happened, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee. And then there's a number of things mentioned about two going, one which does include Benjamin, Judah, and Benjamin. We won't get too technical there, but verse number 35. Now, I want you to listen carefully to this. This is God trying to encourage this man, Jeroboam. Listen to what happens. Verse 35, but I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and will give it unto thee, even 10 tribes. And unto his son will I give one tribe, that David, my servant, may have a light always before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen me to put my name there. And I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desires, and shall be king over Israel. And it shall be, listen, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and will walk in my ways, and do that which is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David, my servant, did. Basically, Jeroboam, follow the word of God. Follow the word of God. Here's the promise, that I will be with thee and build thee a sure house as I built for David, and I will give Israel unto thee. What is the promise? Jeroboam, I'm going to give you 10 tribes, but I don't want you to keep them in your own power. I don't want you to keep them with your own ideas. You look to me. You follow my word, and I will keep them for you. I'm emphasizing that for a minute because you're going to see the spiritual lesson we're going to take out of this story. So therefore, eventually, Solomon must have found out, because he was a wise man. Look at verse 40. Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam, and Jeroboam arose and fled into Egypt unto Shishak, the king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. So Solomon dies. Now, we come into chapter 12 and verse 1. And Rehoboam. Now, these names are very similar. They're not very similar because they start with different letters, but Jeroboam and Rehoboam. How do you remember which one is the king's son? Okay, Solomon starts with S, Rehoboam starts with R, R-S. Just think of the alphabet, okay? That's how I got it imprinted in my head. So Jeroboam is the servant. Rehoboam is the natural biological son of Solomon. What would the natural son think? My father has died. All 12 tribes are coming to me. That's what he would naturally think. But he didn't know the plans that God had. Chapter 12, verse 1, and Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem. Why Shechem? If you looked at the map of Israel, okay, if you take the largest tribe in the north, which is Ephraim, Shechem is right smack in the middle. It was really the center of that land. It was a tremendous gathering place for all of Israel to come. And this is what Rehoboam is doing. Well, the kingdom is naturally going to be passed to me. So let's go to the central place. Let's gather all of Israel together. Put the rubber stamp on it. Done. I'm it. All right. Let's see what happens. Verse 2. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, he's hiding out in Egypt, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it. For he was fled from the presence of King Solomon. Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called for him. How did those people up in the north know to call for him? This is God moving behind the scenes. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam. Now, I'm not going to take time to read all what happened there, but here's basically what happened. As a result of Solomon, a carnal man away from God, you know what the result was? He was desperate hard on the people of God. So here is Rehoboam, and here comes Jeroboam. And Jeroboam is a spokesman for the people, and they say to Rehoboam, listen, your father was too hard on us. Lighten the load, and we will gladly serve you. You know what Rehoboam does. He says, come back in 3 days. I'll tell you what I decree. So Rehoboam consults with the older men that were around Solomon. They say, they're right. Solomon was too hard. Lighten the load. Rehoboam turns to the younger men that were brought up with him, and what do they say? Ugh, you crush them. You bring down the hammer on them, so to speak. So Rehoboam thinks, this is going to work, right? That's where the verse that I read comes in. Let's read it, verse 15. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people. Why? For the cause, the sudden turn of events, was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying. And then you find verse 16. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not, Rehoboam hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Judah. Neither have we inheritance, the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram. Who's Adoram? Adoram was a man that was similar to Jeroboam. He was another taskmaster. He was used to dealing with forced laborers. And he was a tough man. And Jeroboam is thinking, I'm not going to let 10 tribes just go away that easy. He doesn't realize at this point that God's behind this. I'm going to send my taskmaster, and he's going to snap the whip and bring everybody back together. All right, let's see what happens. Verse number 18, then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, the laborers, and all Israel stoned him with stones that he died. Therefore, King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee Jerusalem. So Israel rebelled against the house of David until this day. Well, Rehoboam's, that didn't go as planned. I better flee back to Jerusalem. And down to Judah he goes. Do you know what? I won't take time to, let's read it. He actually decides now, back in Jerusalem, I'm going to send an army up there. So he gathered all of his chosen men together. Look at verse 22. But the word of God came unto Shimei, the man of God, saying, speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the remnant of the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, ye shall not go up, nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. Isn't that amazing? Division in the kingdom of Israel. 10 in the north, 2 in the south, and God puts over the whole thing. This thing is from me. So, dear child of God, God can be behind division. It's clearly evident in the word of God. God now is going to give 10 tribes in the north to Jeroboam. And he's going to leave 2 tribes with Rehoboam in the south. Remember what he said to Jeroboam. Follow me, and I will keep those 10 tribes there. I want you to think of this for a minute. What is down south in Jerusalem where Rehoboam is? That's where the temple is. That's where God had initiated worship to be given, the only place. That's where all the sacrifices were given, all of the commandments, the statutes of God. Do you know what Jeroboam in the north started to think? Let's read it. Look at verse number 25. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim. Now this is the king in the north. And dwelt therein and went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart. There's where the problem started. Now shall the kingdom, 10 tribes, return to the house of David, down south, if these people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. Then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, referring to Rehoboam, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. If you're familiar with the 7 feasts of the Lord, you should be. There's 3 of them that God said every single male throughout the whole land has to make an annual trip down to Jerusalem 3 times a year for these particular feasts. Do you know what Jeroboam started to think? Well now, if my people start going down there, they're going to start to realize the temple's here. The glory of the Lord is here. We don't have a temple up here in the north. They got all the feasts down there in the south. We don't have any feasts of Jehovah up here in the north. We have to go down there. What's he going to do? What did God say to him? Jeroboam, follow my word, and I will guarantee that you won't lose your people. But Jeroboam doesn't want to trust the Lord. What does he do? Look at verse 28. Whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set one in Bethel. Can you imagine? Bethel, house of God. And he sets up a golden calf. Idolatry. Unbelievable. This is this man's heart. This is his thinking. It's too much for you to go up. And he set one in Bethel and the other in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. You say, Jeroboam, can you not look at a man called Solomon? Look what happened to him when he set up idols. Look, the kingdom was divided. It was ripped from him. Jeroboam, think. No. I am going to devise an alternate form of worship to keep these people. I'm not going to follow the God-given pattern to keep the people of God united. I'm going to produce spiritual unity my own way. I'm going to set up for convenience two different golden calves. These are your gods, O Israel. Did it stop there? No. Look at verse 31. And he made a house of high places, temples. And he made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not the sons of Levi. What did God clearly say in the Old Testament? Only the sons of Levi are to be priests. I'm not going to follow that, he said. This idea of secluding the priesthood to one tribe? No, I'm going to open it up. I want everybody. I don't care how low they are. I don't care where they come from. I want them all to be priests. But Jeroboam, it's against the word of God. I don't care. I'm going to unite these people. I'm going to hold them together because of my thinking. Let me ask you, dear child of God, do you think it's going to work? You should have the answer to that right away. No. All right, let's keep reading. It didn't stop there. And Jeroboam ordained a feast. Oh, my. In the 8th month on the 15th day. The last feast of Jehovah ends on the 7th month on the 14th. And here's this man now adding an additional feast. Can I bring it into our time? Let's add a different meeting. That's not sanctioned by the word of God. These traditional assembly gatherings that we're used to. Oh, they're not according to the Bible, are they? Yes, they are. No, you say, we need different meetings today to keep the people of God together. Do you know where I'm tracking now? I'm hearing now of conversational Bible studies where both male and female can speak. It's against the word of God. It's no different than what Jeroboam is doing. We got to come up with new ways. No, we don't. See, this is why I emphasize, God said to Jeroboam, follow my word. A guarantee of the 10 tribes for a long time. He just couldn't bow to that. He wouldn't bow to that. Now listen, my time is gone, but there's consequences to all this. You know what's sad? You take time to read in 2 Chronicles 11, 12, and 13. Do you know what happened 22 years from this point? You don't read this phrase with any other person. And the Lord struck him, and he died. Oh, Jeroboam, did you see that consequence coming? Here's another consequence. Of all the children that Jeroboam had, there was only one that God allowed to be buried properly. Do you know what happened to all the rest? God said this, those that die in the city, the dogs will eat. Those that die in the field, the birds of the air will eat. Oh, Jeroboam, could you not see this consequence? Can I talk to elders here today? You be very careful the direction you start to head that assembly. I will back you and support you 100% if you follow this book. You start to diverge from this book. You're not only going to bring consequences on yourself, you're going to bring it on that whole flock. Dear child of God, we cannot reinvent the wheel. What God has stated works. We need to do our due diligence to keep to it. So, so important. I want you to get a hold of that. This is what we're learning from the Old Testament. I was even going over it again today. Here was Jeroboam, and he had war constantly with Rehoboam in the south. Do you know how many people Jeroboam lost in one battle? 500,000 people. Jeroboam thought he had the more. He had the numbers. He had 10 tribes. He had 800,000 people to start with at the start of that army. And here's the little people in the south, and we'll just run all over you. But what he didn't realize was he didn't have God and they had God. And in one battle, he lost 500,000 people. Listen, God doesn't need numbers to do his work. God just needs people true to the word of God. That's all he needs. I want to read one more consequence. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles and chapter 11. 2 Chronicles and chapter 11. Then I'm finished. This is probably one of the saddest consequences. Well, they're all sad. 2 Chronicles chapter, you have to read 1 Kings, 2 Chronicles all together. It shows you different aspects of what is happening. Now, this 2 Chronicles 11 is breaking in right just after the division. And we're introduced to Rehoboam in the south, verse number 1 of chapter 11. And he starts a tremendous building program and strengthening. And verse number 5, and Rehoboam dwelt in Jerusalem and built cities for defense in Judah. Look at verse number 13. And the priests and the Levites that were in all Israel resorted to him, Rehoboam, out of their coasts. For the Levites left their suburbs and their possession and came to Judah and Jerusalem. Here's the reason. For Jeroboam and his sons had cast them off from executing the priest's office unto the Lord. And he ordained him priests for the high places and for the devils and for the calves which he had made. Oh, Jeroboam, when you left the word of God, the pattern of the word of God, and you devised 2 golden calves, what was behind them? Devils. Demons. That's where the warfare is today, dear child of God. God and the devil. And the minute we leave this book, we're being influenced by emissaries of the devil. The Spirit of God would never encourage departure from the Word of God. Never. But demons would. This is what happened in this man's life. Keep reading. And after them, out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their heart to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem. Do you know what happened? Do you know where the tribe of Levi was? It was up north. And the entire tribe and the priests left. They are the godly element of the nation. They left, and they came down south. Now, here is the consequence. You sit down and you look at the 20 kings that came in the south. Many of them feared the Lord and did that which was right. go through the 19 kings of the north. Are you listening? You'll never read that one of them feared the Lord. You'll never read that one of them did that was right in the sight of the Lord. Not one. You say, why? That was the course that Jeroboam set it on. And it was never changed. Do we want our assemblies to be God-fearing? Do we want our lives to be God-fearing? Do we not want to do that which is right? Follow the book. Use Jeroboam as an example. Learn from it. May I learn from it. We cannot reinvent the pattern that God has given us. It will only end in one way: devastating consequences.